Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength and for, Lord, just the life and the desire to be here for loving us and for watching over us, Lord, for another day. I just thank you for it. And thank you for your Son and, Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for all those that'll repent of their sins. Lord, thank you too for Ling and Norman, for Pat and Steve, for Monica and myself, and Lord, for Bethel. And Lord, we just pray for all the things that are out there needing to be happening right now, for Christy and his paperwork, for the wedding and just, Thursday, Friday, 2.5 days time, maybe 3 for him. I pray you, Lord, that everything would go smoothly, that you would bless and keep not just them, but us also. Pray you for Stan and the folks in Bangor. No, they've switched their service today, and I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon him as well. Lord, we really do need you. We miss Frank and Will and Christine. We miss Carol and John and Stephen. We miss Christy, and we're looking forward to seeing Taylor. Lord, we miss them all, as well as those that have been and gone, Lord, for Alan and Rachel and Nathan and Jordan, for Sylvia and Jonathan, for Paul and Ethel and Chloe and Joshua and Rachel Lee, for Tony and Caitlin, for the Lemonians, Lord, for all those that have been and gone. Pray especially for the Fleckner family, for the folks up and down the Maboy Road, and very especially, Lord, for Alan Leslie and Pearl Hetherington. Lord, there are so many needs. I pray, Father, for your good hand upon those, upon our private prayer requests, Lord, and you know what they are. I pray that you would grant them all according to your will. Bless our time together. Just lead us and guide us and provide our needs for us today. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Right. Hymn number 121. We're going to begin with, there's another river hymn, Norman. We're definitely trying to get you down to the farm. 121, like a river glorious.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its pride and grace. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Bye.
Skip over about 132 hymns to 253, and we'll sing You Must Be Born Again. 253, You Must Be Born Again. To read for us, brother. I know I never check with you. I'm taking you for granted. You've been doing it for so
long. Yeah, I am able to read. I have well,
just part of the furniture now.
Lost in translation. Tonight's reading is from 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he hath not the Son, God, hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touched him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him, and that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
That was memory verses of old, if memory serves correctly, but some powerful verses in there that if you want to check if the Bible that you have is good, 1 John chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 are worth reading in your chosen Bible, because other Bibles don't like the Trinity. The verses that say there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's not in other Bibles. It just skips right the way down and misses the three that bear witness on earth and goes, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Just disappears a whole verse, because the world, the flesh, and the devil does not like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the great verses, 5:13, talks about you can know that you have eternal life. Let me just read it for you. I'm butchering it up here. But I appreciate the reading. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So that you can know it. It's not a feeling. You can know it. Anyway. Great verses. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Very much appreciated. Look forward to the next one. Thank you. We're going to keep you. We're going to keep you. All right. Before it gets silly. Well, sillier. Is anybody any prayer, any special prayer requests that they'd like to let have everybody praying for?
Just keep Louise in the press for Friday morning, please. She goes in and spur her up on Friday.
Louise. I think she's on for that, isn't she?
She's on under health.
Louise up Friday AM. That'll be Friday the 15th, is it?
This Friday.
All right. We still have your neighbour supposed to be praying for Victoria. Did you hear anything else about her? Victoria used to come to the church with her husband, but then left for whatever reason and everything went to the wall. But please do pray for her. Do also pray for... you may have met young fella Aaron that came to the church a couple of times with David King, the man that wanted to heal me of all my aches and pains by straightening my legs and straightening my arms, but didn't quite work for him, and obviously he's not coming back. But his grandson was staying with Will's cousin William and Rachel, but they have now decided that they are better parting ways. So please do pray for William and Rachel. A lot of spiritual difficulties there. Pray for Aaron and David King. Of course, all the folks that aren't here today. Don't forget to pray for Esther too. And I think Samuel and Faith had a good time up seeing the good old faces. That's the wrong word to use. The regulars, there you go. The regulars. Hi.
We
are. You think about it, there's not one person here under 55 tonight. Old but forever young.
Say speak for yourself, but I can't.
So anyway, pray for Carol and Stephen and John.
Yes.
Private prayer requests. We have everybody's name down here. Do you still want me to keep your name in the private prayer requests? The Lord knows what they are. Just remember and pray for each other as those come to mind. Yes, Mrs. Bradfield.
Mom's follow-up appointment is Friday.
I was about to say that as your mom. Monica's mom has to go to the heart surgeon to make sure that her heartbeat is still regular so that she can go for this ablation. It sounds like something you do before you kneel at the altar, doesn't it? But please do pray for Pat. You've met Pat. Please pray for her. Amen. I think that's about it. Pray for Christy. Here's a few bits and pieces of paperwork to get sorted out for his... for Taylor's visa. So please do pray for that. And that'll be Saturday evening. Yes, Steve.
Please pray for the ones in Mexico that lost their lives.
And that train wreck.
And also, please pray for Jerusalem. You're not going to get a hard time right now.
They got a missile strike against them there the other week. And you'll never hear a word about it until Israel fires one back.
Well, Israel has retaliated.
Yeah.
3 times as hard as they hit.
They should never have listened to the British or the Americans persuading them to give that land back. They should have just put the Israeli flag on it.
They've got a nice surprise for them.
Sure they have. But... pray for Israel. Pray for our countries as well. I was with everything that's going on. Pray for America, first of all. They're actually stepping into a recession. They have many of their garages have run out of fuel because of all the stupid stuff that their current president is enacting. The price of timber is literally doubled. You're talking maybe $50 for an 8x4 sheet of ply, whereas we would pay about, depending, maybe £20 to £30 for a sheet of inch ply. they would be paying double that. The price of putting a house up, just the timber bit of it, has gone from $14,000 to nearly $30,000. So pray for them. And the things that people were stockpiling, they're talking about, like TP, toilet paper, those things are starting to get a bit thin on the ground. So difficult things are happening, and it's completely fabricated. And forgive me if I sound like a conspiracy theorist, but there's not one thing that is happening in this world that can't be explained away by people wanting to take over complete control of the world and breaking the spirits of anybody that would want to step in against them. So pray for America. Pray for our own country. That is Northern Ireland, of course, the UK, Scotland and Wales. Pray for China and all of the, and Russia and Korea and North and South, Australia, Japan, all of those countries, and Europe and Mexico even as well. We don't just need a lot of prayer, we need a lot of people willing to act upon their prayer as well. And I'm not calling for armed resistance or anything like that. I know I could think of a few people that would need lined up against a wall. But please do pray for our country. This country used to have missionaries going everywhere in the world, and now it needs missionaries. That's how bad we are. Same for England. You were going to say something, Steve?
Was it last night or the night before? There were 3 attempted suicides on the bridge.
Did they get them?
Young people.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, they got them. But,
might have to go up with a bucket of paste and a couple of posters again.
Looks that way, yeah. And also, speaking of Russia, we villages outside Russia, a 17-year-old killed 8 children, 1 teacher, and they're gone. Just...
When there's no love for the Lord in your heart, the devil will come in like a flood. The world will fill any space that is left that should be filled by the Holy Spirit and by all the things that God offers you. If that's not there, the world will always have a substitute, a counterfeit ready for it. So yeah. Alright, please do pray for those folks too. Amen. Right. Anything else? Anything else we need to know about? Certainly is. There's at least, I hope, 15 or 20 of them coming up. Not all in the 1 year, but I mean year after year. Anyway.
Not forgetting my birthday.
How could we?
Sister Monica.
It's your birthday. But he's here.
I'm only asking.
I thought you were going to say that he's...
Did not Jesus say, ask and you shall receive? If you ask not, you receive not, because you ask not.
If you don't get if you don't ask, but just because you ask doesn't mean you'll get. And
that's right.
I have one word to answer to that, and that would be Mars bar.
Sorry?
That would be Mars bar. Just because you want something or ask for it doesn't mean you're going to get it. Anyway, enough silliness. Pardon?
I thought you were
going to
say
Bob Diddle. Oh, no, there is that. Have you ever heard of people praying for something and getting it and realizing they didn't really want it in the first place? Did you hear about that? Steve saw one of the pot noodles up on the shelf, and it was brought in for the Brexit. How long ago was that? 2 years? 3 years ago? Steve wanted it, but whenever he found out how old it was, his face went a funny, he had a funny, anyway. Needless to say, we were really concerned for his health. Anyway, let's pray. Steve, are you okay to pray? Okay, off you go, brother.
Blessed Father, we give thanks to you for this day and the blessings received so far. Lord, we ask, Lord, if you will, just be with your children Israel at this precious moment. these dire times, Lord, of the attacks on Jerusalem, Father, and people getting hurt or killed, Lord, please, please put a barrier around Jerusalem. Grant peaceful, Lord, peaceful. Protect your children as you have promised, Lord. And let the justice be done. I ask, Lord, if you will also bless all those that are in need of you this night, Lord. There's been someone who re-suicides and die again, Father. I pray this not started off again, but the spirit of suicide is upon us. And if it is, Lord, please, Lord, just restore them what before us by the spirit, and Lord, just put in the young hearts and minds and to, Lord, to show them a better way of life, Lord, that they don't need to do these terrible things. But they can turn to you and can talk to you, Lord, and you can, they help me to do repentance, that you would save them, Father. Please, Lord, save souls. Well, I ask to you, Lord, for the blessing of Christopher.
Yes, Lord.
And Taylor. Today is getting nine out of the becoming more. And Lord, I ask to you, Lord, if you will, just let them have a good day, Lord, and everything be done according to you, Lord. Bless your Mark as well, as he travels home on his own. That you keep him safe and bring him back to me, Lord. Bless all those who are with us this night. I speak of Sister Esther, Carol, John and Stephen. Lord, please, Lord, give these souls, Lord, every physical, spiritual, whatever it is, Lord, that you just help them, comfort them, sort them out, Lord, and bring them back in this point in time. Not forgetting Leonard, Lord, wherever he is or whatever he's doing, Lord, but you know him, Lord, just be with him, Lord. Also, Lord, that you're with him, Father. And he keep his mind to you, Lord, please. Protect him. And to you, Lord, I pray for our world leaders, especially American, and also here, and also for Boris Johnson, who wants to be some sort of people, please, Lord, and you know full well that's not the right thing to do. Lord, please, Lord, put common sense where there is, Lord. Lord, that maybe they'll just turn to you for, you know, Lord, remember that once upon a time, these countries were great countries and great empires because they put you first. Let them put you first again, Lord. Let them become Christian countries. Here, everywhere, Lord, please, let world leaders do this. Lord, that you'd guide them and show them the right way. Bless Brother Mark too, Lord, as he's bringing his young word. I give the words to speak to us, Father. Let the Holy Spirit be upon each one of us and grant us portions of wisdom as we listen to your word. We may get a deeper and more loving understanding of you, Lord. Draw us in nigh to you, Father, please. As we give thanks to you and praise to you and glory to you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, let's take our hymn books again, if you would. Would you like to play for us number 49 in the big books? 49 is Meet Me There. Thank you. If you want to stand, if you want to sit, that's good too.
On that happy golden shore where the faithful part no more, when the storms of life are o'er, meet me there. Where the night dissolves away into pure and perfect day, I am going home to stay, meet me there. Meet me there, meet me there. Where the tree of life is blooming, storms of life are o'er on that happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, meet me there.
Here
our fondest hopes are vain, dearest links are rent and twain, but in heaven no throb of pain. sparkling bright in the setting of the light. Where our faith is lost in sight, meet me there. Meet me there. Meet me there. Where the tree of life is blooming, meet me there. When the storms of life are over, faithful part no more, meet me there. Where the harps of angels ring and the blessed forever sing in the palace of the King, meet me there. Where in sweet communion blend heart with heart and friend with friend, in a world that there shall end, meet me there. Meet me there. Meet me there. Where the tree of life is blooming, meet me there. When the storms of life are o'er on that happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, meet me there.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. If you would like to take your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's where we're going to be reading from. Speaking from this evening, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd like to read the first 10 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd like to spend the subject for the meeting this evening is you can't see it, hear it, or feel it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. And I, that is Paul the Apostle, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Last two verses there that we read, verses 9 and 10, that's our text this evening, as you might have guessed from the title. And I'd like to speak a little bit this evening on the subject of not being able to see it or hear it or feel it. Amen. Let's have another wee word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you again. Pray for your good hand upon all of us this evening, that you'd watch us and keep us and just open our understanding. Be with Brother Stan and Brother Bissett and Brother Cosgrave. Lord, with Brother Seeley and Brother Asquith and Brother Hayne. Lord, with all of those men that would stand to preach the full counsel of your word for the edifying of the saints and the saving of lost souls. Bless our time together, Lord, and this time around your word, I pray you please. Amen. Amen. Now, just FYI, as we open the book of Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, I want for you to understand that 1 Corinthians was actually written to the church at Corinth as a letter of rebuke, as a letter of correction, because the church at Corinth had gone off the rails a bit. There was stuff mentioned in there about, well, a lot of things we're not even going to mention now, about people believing wrong, about, in this case, Paul was saying, I'm not a charismatic speaker, and I don't want you listening to me because I am a charismatic speaker. I want you to listen to the gospel. He emphasizes the point a couple of times, and verse number 2 that we looked at has been a byword, and it has actually kept me from much trouble as we went around the doors in Craigan and Govna's Scale and Lincoln Courts and Nelson Drive, places that the first thing they ask you is, where do you live? And the second thing they ask you is maybe what football team you support. And if you say Celtic and you're in Lincoln Courts or Nelson Drive, you might get a slap. Or if you say Rangers, whenever you're in Govna's Scale or Craigan or the bog side, you might get a slap and your knees taken out. You just wouldn't know, and it very much depends upon the political climate on any given day. But Paul said, I am determined not to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. I don't want to hear. Let me give you an example of what just come to mind. A number of years ago, there was a wee girl, a wee red-headed girl from Monica's hometown that came to stay with us. And she just stuck with Monica the whole time. And other than a few pleasantries, I didn't really get a chance to speak to her. And she had a few difficulties back home, but Monica never shared any of them with me, and I never asked. What do you call her again?
Bethany.
However, in the week or so that she was here, there were so many messages that actually spoke to her directly of things going on in her life that you would think that Monica had been speaking to me and filling me in. And you may have thought that until Stan came up guest speaking one night, and he brought a message that applied even more to Bethany, and I hadn't been speaking to him either, and neither had Monica. Because if we go by what other people tell us, our aim will be nudged out of the way. It'll not be the true aim. The message that God wants for you to bring, you should bring. The words that God wants for you to speak, you should speak. But if you start listening to people, then could be all over the place. And I purposely, as a young, lost, seeking man, remember thinking the same thing in my head. I am not going to tell anybody anything about myself. If God is real and he can read my mind like I read a book, he will know what message to supernaturally give his minister without me having to say to anybody. And he did. He really is that cool of a God. He knows that much and he's that powerful. And they said to me, I said, I'm not here to discuss football or politics. I'm here to tell you that God loves you and gave his son to die for you on the cross of Calvary. And it's up to you to choose him as your savior so that you can go to heaven someday. No matter what football team, and that was one of the reasons why we always said not to be wearing any football colors whenever you're going around the doors. Paul said, let the wisdom of God, the preaching of the gospel, let it do the conviction. Let it do the reasoning. See, the thing about it is, the wisdom that's in the Word of God is not conventional wisdom. It's not secular wisdom. It doesn't tell you what shares to buy. It doesn't tell you whenever there's a good deal on steak at half price in Frank Long's and tells you, it doesn't tell you things like that. Those are by the bys. The wisdom of God is entirely different. Hence our verses here, verses 9 and 10. And I am sure you've heard these verses many times. It says, I have not seen and nor ear heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man, in other words, into lost people's perceptions, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. It goes on to say, but God has revealed them unto us by the Spirit. And it says, capital S, that means the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, but also us as well. It reaches right down into your heart and your mind, and it can pull up things that have bothered you. It can soothe things that have hurt you. The Holy Spirit, if we let him, can do marvelous things. Now, when you're working with the Word of God, I'm just looking at verse 23 in the previous chapter. This tends to be the way the world looks back at you again. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, the stumbling block, and I would say unto many people in the church right here and now, Protestant churches, Catholic churches, whatever else, it is a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. It seems to be complete and utter idiocy to so many. The thing about it is, it provides what we really need. The Word of God provides what we really need. It provides a description to us of God's love for us, an invitation to us to live with God forever and ever, and the resuming of relations of God with us in the same way that he had a relationship with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. To walk and talk with God. To walk the way that God is walking. To talk the way that God is talking about the things that God talks to us about. And to talk to him about the things that bother us so that God can give us his input. Thing about it is, that seems stupid in this day and age. In a world that has forgotten this one very important thing. We are not just a collection of cells with electrical impulses running between them. That's not us. We are a body which is a collection of cells with a little electrical impulses running through them and all sorts of biological shenanigans going on that nobody has yet been able to reinvent. But we are also a soul. There is us. There's me. There's you. There's the part of you that isn't your body, that's conscious, that loves, that guides, that directs this vehicle that we inhabit. Your soul. It's the bit of you that's going to live forever in either heaven or hell, depending on whether you choose Christ as your Savior or you decide to go some other way. If you're saved and you're a different creature, well then you're saved for free, forever and for sure. The verse that Norman read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. You know that you're going to go to heaven. God has you in the palm of his hand, John said a few years earlier in John chapter 10. And no man can pluck you out, which means the devil, and it also means you, and it also means anybody else. There's also what they call the spirit of man, which is a little spark. It's like, you know what they say whenever the battery dies in your car? They say your car is dead. You could weigh it, and it would be exactly the same weight as it was whenever the battery was fully charged. But the battery is discharged, and your car is dead. So what do? They jumpstart it. They give it spark. And that is the spirit in our own bodies. The book of Ecclesiastes has a great little explanation of this in Ecclesiastes 12. It says, whenever our lives are over, it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. That's our bodies going back into the ground. And the spirit shall return unto God that gave it. That's that little spark of life that keeps us firing, keeps all our wee cells turning over and generating energy in one thing and another. And the rest of the Bible tells us that we go wherever we have chosen to go. Those that reject the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ go to hell and then the lake of fire. We don't take any joy in it. It just is a fact. But those that accept Christ as their Savior, we know, go to heaven. So many people have forgotten it, even Christians many times, or are just ignorant of the needs of the spiritual side of our lives, that people are quite literally starving to death. They're like a walking dead. They're running about, they're going through the same thing day in and day out, but they have forgotten that they're living, breathing souls, received the breath of life, we inherited it through Adam, and we have got an eternity to attend to, and in some cases the eternity of others to attend to as well. And it's not just a recent thing, it's happened many times in history with many, many souls, but there has never been a time in the whole history of mankind that mankind has forgotten or ignored this so, I would say, so completely. We had the prayer request for the three people that were they saved off the bridge? Were they talked down? Did anybody go in? This is what brings a soul to a bottle or a packet of tablets or a blade to their forearms or to the end of a rope. Salvation, or should I say the lack of salvation. Having nothing in their hearts, their sins weighing on them every moment of every day. Imagine living with that awful burden. It took me years of conviction by the Holy Spirit, but eventually I came to the foot of the cross and I chose Christ as my Savior, and it was literally, did any of you guys ever see these people wearing the weighted training vests and then they go out running? Awfully bad for the knees, but they would wear them to make their hearts work harder and their muscles work under a heavier load so that whenever the weight's gone, they can run faster or do more. Whenever I got saved, it felt like I had taken a weighted vest off and I was set free. And when you're not free, it'll do that to you. It'll grind you right into the ground. But even Christians have problems, even saved souls have problems, because they're ignorant of God's promises, where Jesus said, I will literally keep you in the palm of my hand. I will keep you in the palm of my hand, and no man will be able to pluck you out forever. Even as a Christian, the first time I walked through those doors, I never knew that. As a saved soul, even then under conviction of the Holy Spirit about the direction of my life. I never knew that. Because the Presbyterian Church never told me. Charismatic Church never told me. And the Church of Ireland never told me. And it was one message by Pastor Fox up here, and that's why I love John chapter 10 so very, very much, that precious promise of Jesus Christ keeping you in the palm of his hand and God, our Heavenly Father, keeping us in the palm of his hand. And again, the verses that we listened to as Norman read them from 1 John chapter 5, these things being written so that we can know that we're going to heaven. That changes you, even as a saved soul. It changed me so much. It took me from the back of the church to the front of the church and then to the pulpit. I kid you not. It took me round the doors whenever I realized, hold on a wee second, I'm going to heaven. Everybody can go to heaven. It's not like the lottery. If two people win the lottery, you only get half the wins. It's not like that. If two people come to know Christ as Savior and start living for God, they get all the blessings. You don't get a half a blessing because two people are doing it. You get all the blessings and the encouragement of seeing a brother or sister in Christ going on. We need to know that. Because if you don't, you're first still worrying and still have this burden of your sins that the Lord is carrying. You're quite literally putting your shoulder under the Lord as he shelters you and carries you from your sins and trying to carry them still. I honestly believe we need a noble purpose. We need a great calling. Something that is bigger than us. Something that we can aspire to, that stretches us, that helps us grow, that gives us satisfaction, not just in the completion of it, but in the execution of it. And the Lord knew that, and that is why he said, just before he went alive up into heaven, go and preach the gospel to every creature. You might think that is this job, it's not. This is only the saved creatures that I know that I get to share the gospel with. He didn't say pastors go and preach the gospel to every creature. And he didn't say Pharisees preach the gospel to every creature or apostles. He said to everybody that knows him, go and preach the gospel to every creature. That means to your friends, to your family, to your loved ones, to school friends, work colleagues, every creature. And the Lord will give you the wisdom and the wherewithal on how to do it, if you will take time. Because a lot of the things that stop Christians because we think that God is like a magical suit of supernatural armor that all we have to say is, devil, I rebuke you, and like just beyond our sight, flashes of supernatural lightning will come out from our fingertips and hit the devil and chase him away. But that's not how it works. It says we need to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, and then he will flee from us. That is the word of God. It says in Isaiah 40 and 31, ye that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. We shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. And again in 1 Samuel 22, I think we mentioned it on Sunday, it says, by my God have I run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. The things that the world thinks are impossible, and even some Christians think are impossible, are eminently possible when we keep our eyes on God. Whenever you get to heaven, ask Peter about walking on the water. Eminently possible as long as you keep your eyes on the Lord. We need a great purpose, and God has provided that for us all. It might be on a street corner, it might be in a pulpit, it might be around your dinner table at home, it might be to a friend on the phone or a multitude of people on Facebook or Twitter or just wherever it is. But God said, you have a job to do, here it is. It's the one that I did when I was here, and if it's good enough for me, it is of course good enough for you. Have you seen all of the activities that people pursue in the pursuit of a quiet soul? A soul that's not convicted, a soul that's not troubled, the things that people do. Every morning, sometimes just at the edge of my hearing, and depending on how tired I am, might not even hear it at all. A half a dozen of cars rolls up our lane. Sometimes at about 6 or shortly afterwards. Sometimes I might hear them. Sometimes I don't. I was going to say young people. They're not young people. They're people from many different branches of the age groups, or should I say people from many age demographics. How's that? And you know what they're doing? They are desperately afraid of dying, so they are hitting a gym. Or they're desperately afraid of their reputation dying, or their clothes not fitting, so they're hitting a gym. Whenever we come back and forth from church, if you ever go up and down the dual carriageway, how many times do you see them out with the high-vis vests running up and down the pavements? Do you know why they're doing that? Because they're desperately afraid of dying. Some people will, they will pursue Keep Fit, or Peloton is the big one at the moment. It's getting a lot of pushing where you can exercise from the comfort of your own tablet. Don't know, does that make your fingers muscly or fit? But I know what it does. But a lot of people are doing all of these things, looking for peace, looking for quietness, looking for a rest from all of the things, literally all of the things that are coming at us all the time. And there is only one way to do that, and that is when you hash it all out with God. It's in it's in Philippians chapter 4. And it says, be careful for nothing, don't worry. But on everything, by prayer and supplication, in other words, speaking to God, pleading with God, and thanking God, let all of your requests be made known unto God, and then the peace that passeth all understanding will keep your thoughts and your feelings, your heart and mind, through Jesus Christ your Lord. How many people are looking for that and spending literal fortunes on it? We have phones that get smarter and smarter and take more of the mundane tasks off of our hands. We don't have to keep lists anymore. The phone will do it for us. We don't even have to type on the phone anymore. We can dictate it to the phone. You just get smarter and smarter. People get dumber and dumber. Don't know what that is. Could be a tractor. They're out cutting silage and one thing and another. So, but for by even those, there's comfort and strength and protection and encouragement and wisdom, all of these things and so much more, that only come from knowing God as your daddy. Who was it used to say, who's your daddy? Is that one of these Northern Irish comedians? Wasn't James Nesbitt, was it? Anyway, Bible says we can have that sort of relationship with God, daddy. He's not our heavenly father. He's our dad that loves us to bits, that stood in the way of eternal punishment and damnation for us. The thing about it is, when it says here, eye hath not seen and ear has not heard and neither has it entered into the heart of man, these things are not going to come from our government. Our government is a bunch of crooks. They're a bunch of immoral, good for nothing. The most work they should be doing is picking trash or potatoes out of the field. And I think they would have to have a meeting about that and outfit a new flat for them to stay there, as they work so very, very hard. And if anyone's listening, my tongue is firmly in my cheek when I'm saying that. Our government is led by a fornicator and an adulterer. That's our government. Not so very long ago, Varadkar in the south, he was a practicing homosexual. Both of these men in the Old Testament would have been sentenced to death and stoned to death by their peers. And yet we think that much of them that we make them rulers in the country. Yes. Our salvation is not in the governments. Neither are our blessings, let's be honest. Nor are they in our schools. I think maybe the most conservative schools in the whole of the UK are in Northern Ireland, but even at that, devilment and immorality is creeping in every corner. Our health services. our health services. It used to be that husbands were allowed to come in to see their wives with their new babies. I remember seeing it up on the wall, husbands. And then they had to put husbands' partners. And now I think it's just partners, because a husband is assumed to be a partner, but a partner cannot be assumed to be a husband. That is our health service for us. Whenever they take one of the most deadly diseases and protect it, HIV and AIDS, and make it just another sexually transmitted disease. Whenever it's almost normal for people to have had at least one before they meet their forever partner. Goodness, our health service is not going to save your soul. They can barely even save your body right now. There's not even military service is going to save your soul, but I am glad for all of those that have protected the borders of the UK and the US and all of those other countries. But it doesn't save your soul. I've heard of a number of soldiers. I once heard of a soldier in the USMC hiding under a fuel truck whenever his base was attacked, suddenly remembered where he was and started praying to God that there would be no direct hits on the fuel truck. He said, "If you get me out of here, God, I will do whatever you say," but consequently forgot about his promise to God. Until many years later when he did get saved. But military service does not produce any of those things that the Bible will give to anybody. Neither do the police or the army. Well, we did the army. Neither does a sterling career in any field. Neither does being able to kick a ball from one end of a football pitch to another and hit the goal. There is no movie, there is no entertainment, there is no amount of keep fit, there is no amount of property, there is no amount of education can provide these things. It is not going to be found within the secular world whatsoever. Not even in an adventure in the deepest parts of space, the deepest parts of the earth, or the deepest parts of the ocean, no matter what Hollywood might like to tell you. And I can guarantee you, if men get to Mars, it might seem all grand in the very beginning, but before very long, it'll be just like home. It'll be like a new phone. It'll smell lovely. It'll feel faster and sharper, but after a while, it'll be just like home. And until we get over a passing thrill, and realize that all of these things, they don't actually make a difference, a deep down difference, souls will never, ever come to the foot of the cross. It took me many years, even as a teenager. The conviction of the Holy Spirit got so bad with me that I used to cut my granny's grass every 2 weeks, and she would give me £5 for wheeling the mower down Kilcomain Park, down to Kilcomain Drive and cutting her grass, and she would make me a cup of tea and maybe a couple of scones or whatever. And even getting down with the wee clippers and doing the wee round gardens that they have down there. It got to the point, the conviction was so heavy upon my soul, I didn't want to take any of her money. I was trying to do things to pay for my sins. Until you realize that those things don't work, and only trusting in Christ as your Savior and then as your leader, your guide, those are the things that work. There has never been a time in the whole history of mankind that people have had so many problems, and the reason for that is because there has never been a time in the whole history of mankind that we have been so far from God. And that's it. It's not just salvation, and we're not just talking about getting saved. We're talking about walking with God, just like Adam, allowing him to direct us. All the things that he calls us to do and offers us to helping us grow in our Christian character. And letting other people see your changed life and help them to realize that If he did it, well, Lord, if you did it for Mark, and we know what he was like, would you not do it for me? And God will say, of course I will. And these things aren't available. Do you remember? Do you remember what, I don't recall exactly who it was, but I think it was in the book of Acts. As Peter and some of the disciples were laying hands upon people and I think they were healing the sick and one thing and another. A man came up to them who had just gotten saved. It might have been Simon the sorcerer. And he came up with a pocket full of money and he said, here's some money. Would you give me the Holy Spirit so that I can do the things that you do? What did Peter say? Your money perish with you. I perceive that thou art in the iniquity of gall and something. In other words, his heart wasn't right. Even as a delivered man, we have things to do that will help us. And they're all here. Isn't it a funny thing that no matter where you are in the world, no matter your education, your clothes, your bank account, your language, size of your house, everybody can be a good Christian. You don't need any of those things to talk to God, do you? You don't need any of those things to bear your soul to the Lord. You don't need any of those things to obey the Lord. The only thing that you really need is the Word of God. And time to have a wee read at it. And even in places where the Word of God was pretty much unavailable. Does anyone remember the account of a missionary that was, I think he was in an Iron Curtain country and he had to leave and he left his Bible. And to cut a long story short, he got back many, many years later. And the village, the place that he had ministered to and left, it was full of Christians. But not only Christians, well-versed Christians. They knew chapter upon chapter of the Bible. I think between them all, they knew the whole Bible. And what they had done is they had taken his Bible and very carefully dismembered it. Page by page, very carefully. And people took pages with them. And it was that precious to them. Do you know what storing up God's word in your heart will do for you? It's like bleach in a dirty toilet. It's like concrete in an old poisoned well. It covers it. It cleans it. It's like meat and potatoes for the soul. It strengthens it. And it's not available to lost people. It's just there for saved people. No matter what the world, the flesh and the devil might like to tell you, they might promise you many things, they cannot deliver. Only Jesus saves. And only Jesus keeps us and does all of those other things for us. And I think that's one of the reasons why Christians get such a rough ride in the world today, because the devil is the worst loser in the world. And he does not want people to see that Christians are winning. Amen. Thank you for your good attention. God bless you. Now, if anybody has a favourite they'd like for us to finish off with, I'm willing to entertain requests, but if you don't, I have, I think, one or two here. Anybody got one?
224.
What one's that, Pat? There you go. But hopefully not tomorrow. 224, if you're able. I want showers of blessing tomorrow. I just don't want showers tomorrow. Let's stand as we sing 224, and then we will be...
Sing around. clouds round us are falling, but for the showers we plead, there shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again.
Good time. God bless you. It's good to see you. Don't forget absent friends and each other as the week goes. Don't forget private prayer requests. We all have them. We'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time that we've had in your presence around your word. I pray you, Lord, please, for your good hand upon this time, that you would take and make much good of it in our lives, Lord. Please, Lord, save lost souls. And even in these last of the last days, please encourage your brothers and sisters to stand up and be counted. Please be with that pastor in Canada that was arrested. Please be with that pastor in London that was arrested. And I pray you, Lord, for all those that keep on going and reaching out still. Love you and thank you. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands, tap elbows, all that good stuff.